Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
The last 5 weeks, the Lord has taken us through the first two chapters in the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church that was in Ephesus. And as we've watched this teaching unfold before us, the Lord has revealed to us many things concerning Christ, concerning who we are in Christ, and concerning who we are as His church, His body, as a group of believers, a body of believers who have come together to worship Him, to glorify Him. And for some of us, this has been an eye-opening experience. Because the question that some of us have asked ourselves is this: are we really glorifying Christ in our relationships with each other? And the Lord's given us a new perspective on that question, hasn't He? He's given us an answer that maybe we found it difficult to receive. Our actions either build up the body of Christ, lift up His name, lift up our brothers and sisters, or our actions tear down His church. Like it or not, we don't function on our own anymore. For better or for worse, our lives are intertwined. We affect each other. And because we affect each other, we affect the work of the Lord. This is a mystery, Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 1. Something that has been hidden. It's been hidden from mankind. It's been hidden since the beginning of time. It's been hidden for all eternity. Even the prophets who spoke for God, didn't understand this mystery. But now it's been revealed to us, to the people of God, to those who belong to Jesus Christ. This mystery has been revealed through Christ. And what is the mystery? It's this: that through His death, through the death of Christ, He has broken down the walls that have separated us. The ethnic barriers, the racial, the national barriers, barriers between us. They've been the cause of hatred, conflict. But now, because Christ has made peace with God, we can have peace with one another. Anyone who comes to the cross for forgiveness of their sins and who has a relationship with Jesus Christ can have a relationship with the brothers and sisters, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We all have equal access to God. So now, Paul says, there is no Jew. There is no Gentile. Now we are one in Christ. We have become what he calls a new creation, a kenos. He's done a new thing. He's placed us in a new relationship. We're not the same anymore. We now have a relationship with the God of the universe, so now we can have a real relationship with each other. We're like stones, Paul said, that have been placed in a building, a temple, the temple of God. We're the temple of God, and each of us have been placed in that building as a stone so that we can function together. We're dependent on each other, just like stones that are in a building. We need each other. We build each other up. And according to God, that is what the church is to be. When the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church in Ephesus, he had been imprisoned in Rome for the first time. in around the year 62 or 63 AD. And while he was there, he wrote this letter, this divine truth, truth that resonates even today. It's a revelation of a mystery that has been hidden in the heart of God from all eternity. And we understand it. He has given us understanding of this truth. So through Paul, through the Holy Spirit, he reveals this truth to us, that by the grace of God towards us, we can now know and understand and apply this truth not only to our individual lives, we can apply it to the life of the church, to the body of Christ. The old order's gone. A new day has dawned. For this reason, Paul says in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 3, I, Paul, am on my knees before God as I write this letter to you. I pray that you would understand what God has revealed to me and what he has now revealed to you. And though I am in chains, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. Instead, I am a prisoner, a desmios. I am bound, not with chains, but I am bound with my responsibility, a call that God has placed on my life, a call given to me through Christ Jesus. If I'm a prisoner in Rome, it is only because that's where God wants me at this time. I belong to Christ and I am his bondservant. And so I do as he directs my steps and as he leads me. And I have been placed in this prison because I have been faithful to bring the message that he has given me to bring. This is all part of God's plan for me. Is that how we see life? How do we see the circumstances in our life? They're all part of God's plan for us. Paul did. And the message is this, he says, that you, at one time, were far away from God. You were far away from Christ. But now, through his blood, through his death, he's brought you into his very presence. And it is for preaching this message that I was seized and I was dragged off to prison. First in Caesarea, about 70 miles northwest of Jerusalem along the coast of the Mediterranean. And then I was taken all the way to Rome. Between those two places, Paul was in prison for about 5 years. He says, I have been held there for the sake of you. Don't feel sorry for me, though. He said, don't feel sorry for me because I have no choice to do what I do. I have been charged to preach this message. I've been told by God himself, by Christ, to preach the message to you, the message that you are now part of the family of God. You, yes, you who were Gentiles, he says, ethnos, those of the nations of the world, those people who were not part of the nation of Israel. He said, it is my responsibility to give you this good news. The message, if indeed, he says, you have heard and are aware of the fact that for the glory of God and for your benefit, I have been given this ministry. I've been assigned this ministry by God, and you are my ministry. He says, I'm sure. I'm sure that you have heard how Christ transformed me. He said, I was a man who was persecuting the church of God. I was blaspheming the name of Christ. But he has transformed me into a man who now serves him and who serves him alone. As the Lord said in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, Paul is a chosen instrument, a vessel a vessel of mine to bring the message of Christ, it says, to the Gentiles, to the kings, and to the sons of Israel. Paul says in verse 2, I am sure that you have heard of the stewardship, of the oikonomia, of the direction that he has given me, this assignment that he's given me. He's entrusted me with this message. He's entrusted me to speak in his name. Not because of who I am, Paul says. But why? He says, because of God's grace. God's grace to me. Because of his grace, he has put me in this ministry, a ministry that is a blessing for you. He says, I know I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve this favor. He says, but I am what I am by the grace of God. And so he has poured out his grace upon me to make me a minister of this truth. All ministries are given by the grace of God. None of us deserve what he gives us, the blessings he gives us. It is all by his grace. And Paul says he has given me an understanding of this mystery that he has entrusted to me. Truth, he says, that has been given to me for you. Namely this, verse 3. That it is by revelation. Apokalypsis. By his spirit. This truth has been unveiled. It has been made known to me. This mystery has been made known to me. As I wrote to you in brief in the beginning of this letter, and now he says by referring to this now, as you continue to read, that you may understand what I'm saying. And that you may understand that the words that I speak are not words that come from me, but they are a revelation from God that he has given me for you. He says, I pray you'll understand these things. He says, I pray you'll understand what I'm saying to you, that God will give you understanding, that you will also understand what? He says, my insight, my sunesis. He says, God's given me knowledge, special discernment into this mystery of Christ. Discernment to understand the significance of this. Paul tells us that he has been instructed by God so that he might instruct us. Insight, he says, which in other generations, in other groups of people, in previous times, wasn't known. It wasn't known at all. It wasn't known to them. It was hidden from them. And now, he says, in verse 5, it has been revealed. It has been unveiled. But not only to me. He says it has been revealed to his holy apostles, his special messengers, and his prophets, his servants who tell forth his word. So they are carried along by the Spirit, and God has given them this understanding as well. A mystery, Colossians 1:26 says, that was hidden from ages past for generations and that has now been revealed and manifested, it says, plenaru. It has been made clear. It has been made obvious, visible. To who? Colossians 1:26 says, to the saints. God has made this mystery clear to us who belong to Christ. We are special and blessed people. Hasn't been revealed to those who don't know Christ. It hasn't been revealed to the people of the world, no matter how religious they may appear. But it has only been revealed to those who belong to Jesus Christ, who have His Spirit living within them, and whose minds and whose hearts have been illuminated by God. So now, this truth is available to us. Available to those of us who know Christ. To be specific, Paul says in verse 6, here is the truth. The truth that the Gentiles, those from the nations of this world, are no longer separated from God. They're no longer outcasts. They've no longer been rejected by Him. Now there is an opportunity for them to come to Christ. They are now fellow heirs, he says. Sun kleronomos, companions with those who have been chosen to receive the inheritance, the blessing, the future blessing of eternal life. He says they're no longer spiritually dead. He says, but now they are fellow members of the body, sunoma. They're alive in Christ. Their life. Life flows through them. The life of Jesus Christ flows through them. So now they are sons and daughters of God. He said, now they are fellow partakers. Sun metakoa, sharing in the blessings, sharing in the promise, all of the promises of God, the hope of glory, it says in Colossians 1:27. All the blessings are ours in Christ Jesus. God accepts all who will come to Him in faith and believe that His Son has paid for their sins by His blood, Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter, because we are all one in Christ. Believing. He says, believing that it is through the gospel. It is because of the gospel of Christ. That's the way we're saved. He says, through the gospel of Christ, we're saved from the wrath to come. And now, he says, we are no longer Jew or Gentile. What did he say in Ephesians 2, verse 15? We are now kainos. We are now a new creation. Unlike anything that the world has ever seen before. We are unique. We are unique in Christ. We are the mystery. We are the mystery that has been revealed, the mystery that has been hidden since the beginning of time for eternity. The true church, the body of Christ, is the mystery. Well, as Paul wrote this letter to this church in Ephesus, and this letter was circulated among the other churches in Asia Minor, this was revelation. This was groundbreaking news. Nobody had ever expressed it like this before. It was a revelation to them that this was true. He says, a revelation of which I was made. I became a channel. God chose me to be a minister, he said, a diakonos, a servant, a laborer, like one who labors in a ship, in the bottom of the ship, at the oars, rowing to move that ship forward. It's not easy work. The work of Christ is not easy. So Paul says, I consider it a privilege to labor for Him. To work according to what? The gift, he says. It's a gift. The labor that I do is a gift. It is a gift that God has given me, a gift that I don't deserve. It's a blessing. It's His grace the work that I do, the ministry that I have, is His grace that has been poured out on us. That's the right attitude about ministry. It's a privilege. It is God's grace to us to give us the opportunity to serve Him. He says it is a gift that has been given to me, but not given to me so that I could exercise it in my own power or strength. But how, he says, verse 7. He says, according to the energia, the energy, according to the influence of who? The power, the dunamis, the strength of His might. That's the only way we truly minister for Jesus Christ. Not in our own strength, not in our own power, but in the power that God provides to us. So we minister for Him in His strength. Working through Paul. Working in Paul. In order for there to be eternal results. This ministry has not been my idea, Paul says. Hasn't been my idea. But I've been empowered by God. I've been empowered as His messenger. And I have His message, and I have it for you. I've been entrusted. It's been entrusted to me. He says, Paul. He says, I am the very least. The elakistos, less than the least, means the smallest, the most insignificant of the saints. I was an enemy of the cross. And my abilities, my credentials, they meant nothing to God. I'm a nobody. That's what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. I'm a nobody. We might be persuasive. We might be eloquent. We might be highly educated. We might be well-dressed. We might have abilities beyond the people around us. We might receive the praise of everyone. But you know, unless it is Christ who calls us to a task and who empowers us, then it will be ineffective. It will not have eternal results. But this grace, Paul says, this grace was given to me. So now I am able to complete my assignment because of Him. My assignment to preach, to teach, to announce the good news to the Gentiles. But how shall they hear? Unless they send a preacher. It's not what he said in Romans chapter 10. And how shall they preach unless they're sent? I have been sent by God, Paul says, to present the unfathomable riches of Christ. All that we are in Him. All that we have in Him. All that is precious. A treasure. He says that is beyond our understanding. Too vast to be traced out and found like the depths of the sea that are so deep. We can't understand and know and measure those depths. Those are the depths of the riches in Christ. Paul says, I have been given the responsibility to explain this truth. Grace upon grace. Wonder Paul was overwhelmed. The tremendous responsibility that he had been given by God. I've been given this assignment, he says, in verse 9. To bring the light. The photizo. To enlighten us. To turn the light on. Of our understanding, to illuminate our heart, our mind, to help us to understand the mystery, the things that have been hidden. Truth. Paul is illuminating our minds through the Spirit of God to give us truth that saves us and that keeps us as we walk with Christ. What is he says, what has always been in the heart of God. I am to explain, he says, this administration, this oikonomia, how it applies to us, how God applies this truth to us, how he applies it to our life, to our death, to our eternity. And in understanding that, how we are to respond to that truth, what are we to do? How are we to live? Paul said, that is my responsibility, to help you to understand, to know how to live for him. What he expects of you as his child, as those who now are part of the family of God. I'm to make this truth understandable to you. We don't need to be blind anymore. We don't need to be in the dark. God has turned on the light. He's turned on the light in our lives so we can understand through this teaching. He's pulled back the curtain, pulled back the veil. The veil of this mystery, he says in verse 9, concerning who we are in Christ and who we are as his church, the body of Christ. This is a mystery, he says, that for ages, for all time, for all eternity has been hidden. Apocrypto, it's been concealed. No one understood it. It's been hidden in God, he says, who created all things. It's been hidden from men. It's been hidden from angels. It's been hidden from demons. It's been hidden from Satan. But now, he says, it has been revealed. It has been revealed to us. But it hasn't only been revealed to us. It has been revealed in us, in the church. Why? Why did he do that? Look at verse 10. He says, in order that the manifold wisdom of God, the polypoikilos, the multicolored wisdom, wisdom like the facets of a diamond that refract the light in an array of blinding flashes of brilliance. Wisdom that he has made known through his creation. Wisdom that he has made known through all that he's done. But now another facet of that wisdom has been made known through what? Verse 10. Through the church. Through us. A revelation, it says in Romans 16, that was hidden from long ago. Hidden wisdom, it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, that God predestined before the ages for what? It says, for our glory. And now, this wisdom concerning us, you, me, this wisdom has been revealed in us. No pressure. It's been revealed not only to us. Verse 10 says it has been revealed to the rulers, the archae, to the leaders. It has been revealed to the authorities, the exousia, those with jurisdiction. Who is that? These are classes. These are groups of angelic beings. Angelic beings, it says in verse 10, in the heavenly places. So when angels, and even demons, see the church, when they see us, when they observe us, when they observe the body of Christ, when they see how we conduct ourselves within the church, how we worship, how we are in our relationships with one another, how we are in our lives, together as his body. What do they see? What do they see when they see us? Well, Paul says that they should see the wisdom of God, as he has revealed that wisdom in what he has done for us. That's what they should see. I wonder if that's what they do see when they see the church today. But still, it is still and has been God's plan that the church, the birth of the church, would be all in accordance with what verse 11 says, the eternal purpose of God. It is all according to his unwavering plan. This is the plan. The plan that runs from time through eternity, and which he carried out, he says, in Christ. He carried out, he displayed it, he brought it to view in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So now, when the host of heaven, when the angels see us, when they see the church, here's what they see, verse 12. They see that we have boldness, parousia, freedom. Freedom. Confidence to speak to God. To know that when we speak to him, when we cry out to him, our prayers will be answered. All of heaven sees. All of heaven sees that now we have confident access. Prosagoge. The assurance. The freedom. To approach the throne of God without fear. Through Christ. Through faith in him. All of heaven sees the relationship that we now have with the God of the universe. No one else has that kind of relationship that we have. Christ has opened the door. Christ has opened the way to this relationship. And 1 Peter 1:12 says that the angels long to understand these things. They long to see clearly, to understand the salvation that we have. And so where do they look? They look at us. They look at us and they try to understand and to grasp the grace of a God who would save people like you and me. So they look at the church to see the wisdom of God. And why do they do that? What is the function of angels? To worship God. They want to understand so that they can worship God more completely, more fully, so they can give him the glory he deserves. But Paul tells the church in Ephesus, this is amazing truth. It's amazing truth that God has revealed to me, and now he's revealed it to you. But you know, there's a price and there's a cost that is associated with this truth, with this message. This revelation cost Paul something, didn't it? Cost him his freedom. Cost him his health. That cost him everything. In the end, it cost him his life. Just as Christ entered the kingdom through suffering. So we enter the kingdom through our trials and tribulations. We enter by way of the cross. There is no other way to enter except through the cross. And so therefore, Paul says in verse 13, I ask you, ateo, it's a little stronger, it's I beg you. I beg you not to lose heart. Ekakeo. Don't faint. Don't grow weary. Don't get depressed. Don't become discouraged. Don't give up. Don't give in because of what I'm going through. Because of my tribulations, my flipsis, my distress, pressure. He goes, the pressure, like the pressure you'd have if you were squeezed between two large rocks. That's the kind of pressure Paul was feeling. But Paul said, don't lose heart. Because of that? Why? He said, because I'm suffering on your behalf. For your sake. He says, For these tribulations are working something that cannot be worked in any other way. They are for your glory, for your blessing. I go what I go through. I endure the hardness, the suffering, the pain. He says, for the greater progress of the gospel. For the greater progress of the gospel in your life. And as you give God glory for what he has done in you, it will glorify God. And isn't that the end of all ministry? Isn't that the end of everything we do in our lives, is to give God glory? It is, and it should be. And this truth that Paul was bringing, he said, is so important that he was willing to suffer to bring it to them and to us. So now what are we going to do with it? You know, the Spirit of God is speaking to us today. Through the Spirit, Paul's inviting us to enter into an understanding of this truth. But not only does he want us to understand it, not only does he want us to hold on to it, he wants this truth to hold on to us. He wants it to grip us and affect us, to affect the way that we live, to affect the way that we are with each other as brothers and sisters, as Christ, in Christ, as his church. We are the mystery that has been revealed. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And what we do either lifts up his name, lifts up our brothers and sisters, or it tears down the body and brings shame to his name. May God give us, grant us understanding of what he is speaking to us. May he give us ears to hear, to really hear, eyes to see what he is speaking to the church, what he is speaking to us today.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.